All right, we're finally in the last half, not the last week, but the last half of our series called Every Life Matters. Just a few more weeks left of this series, but the reason we're doing this series is because every human life is valuable to God. I need y'all to help me preach. Tell somebody, your life matters. Tell somebody else, your life matters. Look across the room and wave at somebody and point at them and say, your life matters. All right, all right. Thank you for that. Listen, I've got two goals in mind for this series. Number one, I want you to know that your life is valuable. But reason number two is I want you to live a life free from man-made limitations. Last week, I talked about women in ministry. All right, now, listen, we could use a few good women in ministry. Do y'all believe that? People like Deborah in the Bible and Phoebe and Lydia and so many others. Because the truth is, God created men and women in His image. And He uses both men and women to do great things for His kingdom. But today, we're going to talk about the issue of age. Nobody likes to talk about that. Because here's the funny thing about people. No matter what age you are, you probably want to be some other age. How many of you would be honest in church and say, that's me? How many of y'all say, I'd rather be an age other than my own age? As human beings, we're funny like that. Most people either want to be younger or older. I remember when I was 8 years old, I couldn't wait to be 12. Man, when you're 12, you got it going on. You can reach stuff on the second shelf. When you're 12, you can reach the cookies when you're 12. So when I was 8, I just, oh, Lord, can I just fast forward 4 years? I am ready to be 12. And finally, birthday number 12 arrived. And I'm like, man, what's the big deal about being 12? I want to be 16 now. When I'm 16, I can drive to the cookie store and get my own cookies. Come on. So I was 12, and I was like, man, I can't wait to be 16. And I was 16 and said, well, you know, this is nice and all, but I'm ready to be 18 now. 18, I'll be an adult. Then I got 18, and what they didn't tell you is you don't really become an adult till you're pushing 30. So listen, 18, yeah, that might be on paper you're an adult, okay, but up here, no, you're not even close. So when I was 18, I was like, well, okay, maybe everything will start settling down when I'm 25. Yeah, can't wait to be 25. I'll be grown then, Can't wait to be 25, the big 25, Well, you know what? 25 came, and all I had at 25 was just more bills to pay. Had more bills to pay, and I was 25 and in ministry, and everybody treated me like I was 12 again because I was everybody's just grandbaby at church. Oh, look at Pastor Josh. He's so cute. He's just a cute little guy. 25. Said, well, maybe I'll have some respect when I'm 30. So I was 25. I can't wait to be 30. I'll really be a for real grown up then. Can't wait to be 30. And now that I'm in my 30s, I wish I was in my 20s again. The only benefit of being older now is that the older I get, the more stuff I can store in my belly button. I lost the remote the other day, and I found it. Then I'm just kidding. But seriously, when we're younger, we want to be older. And then when we're older, we want to turn around and be younger again. But let me tell you something. You are exactly the age God wants you to be. You were born exactly when He wanted you to be born, and you are right on schedule. So look at somebody and tell them you're right on schedule. Okay, you are the age God wants you to be, and your life matters at any age. And there are some things that God has in store for you right now at this age in this season. So this morning, I want to give you four rules for every season of life. Okay? Regardless of your age, these four truths are relevant to your life. Are you ready this morning? Four rules for every season. Here we go. Number one, serve God now. Serve God now. Somebody tell somebody sitting by you, serve God now. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You need to understand this morning that right now is your opportunity to live for God. Tell somebody, now is your time. Listen, God operates in the now. I want you to think about that. God, the Bible says in Genesis that God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And Moses said, God, I'll go and I'll tell them you sent me, but who do I say sent me? What name should I say? And he said, tell them I am sent you. Now, it would have made more sense to me for God to call himself I will, because that was basically the promise to his people, I will deliver you. But no, God said, tell them I am, because God operates in the now. He is the God of the past, present, and future, but he operates in the here and now. Because even though the Israelites were still in captivity, God was saying to them, no, not I will be, I am your deliverer right now, even though you don't have it yet, even though you're not free yet, even though you're still bound, I am. Because God operates right here, right now. So whatever season of life you're in, you need, listen, you can be 8 years old or you can be 80 years old. You can be 20 years old or 120 years old. But if you can hear me right now, this is my message for you. Live for Jesus now. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, for God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, at the right time is now, and today is the day of salvation. The Bible says in Joshua 24, 15, choose this day whom you will serve. Didn't say, think about it and get back to me next week. No, God told the Israelites, you better make a decision today, right now. Don't think about it. Don't be on the fence. Don't flip-flop any longer. I want to know today, who are you going to serve? God wants you to serve him now. Too many people say, I'll live for Jesus when I'm older. I hate to burst your bubble, but you might not have the opportunity to serve God later in life. James 4:14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The Bible says that we have no guarantee of tomorrow. And here's something else you need to know. Most people who become Christians make that decision when they're young. 90% of Christians worldwide made that decision in 18 or under. 70% of them made that decision before the age of 14. Some people do make a decision to live for God later in life. Some of you guys made that decision, and I thank God for that. But the difficult reality is that most people simply do not. Listen, the decisions, if you're young, I want you to hear me this morning. The decisions that you make right now will set the tone for the rest of your life. The decisions that you make right now in this season set the course for the rest of your life. That's why it's vitally important that you make the decision now to follow Jesus. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is no guarantee. You only have today. Four rules for every season of life. Number one, serve God now. Number two, discover today's mission. Discover today's mission. No matter who you are, no matter your age, God has a kingdom assignment for you right now. Come on, look at somebody and tell them you got work to do. They didn't get it. Come on, look at somebody else and let them know. Come on, you got work to do. Listen, God is a God of seasons, and there is a reason for your season. God has a purpose for this point in your life, where you are at your age. God has a purpose for you. So I want you to ask yourself this question: who can I influence right now? Who can I influence right now? Listen, because of your age and the season of life you're in, there are people that only you can influence for God. So you need to learn to identify the mission that God has for you right now in this season. Do you know who's the best at telling 14-year-olds about Jesus? 14-year-olds. Do you know who's the best at telling 45-year-olds about Jesus? 45-year-olds. Do you know who's the best at telling 72-year-olds about Jesus? Did y'all read my notes before service this morning? Go, y'all are on a roll this morning. Listen, no matter your age, God has a mission and a mission field for you in this season of life. Some of y'all may have crossed paths with somebody you used to know way back in the day. That was not an accident. Because God wants to use this season in your life to influence others for the kingdom of God. So ask yourself, who can I reach in this season? God has a mission for you right now, and this is the only chance you'll have to make an impact in this season at this age. So don't miss your chance to make a difference, all right? Tell somebody don't miss it. Listen, don't feel inadequate about your age. We have all been there at some point. Some of y'all may be there right now, but I want to let you know that God gave you your age, and He will use your age for His glory. Listen, your potential has nothing to do with your experience or lack of experience. Your potential has everything to do with your ability to trust God. One of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament was a guy named Jeremiah. Jeremiah was just a young teenager when God sent him to be a prophet. God said, "Jeremiah, get ready. I am sending you to be a prophet to the nations." And listen to how Jeremiah responded to God. Jeremiah 1:6, "O sovereign Lord, I can't speak for you. I'm too young." And the Lord replied and said, "Don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you." Listen, stop using your age to give God an excuse why He's not able to use your life. God said, no, I've got a mission for you, and I am going to send you. You got to go where I send you. You need to say what I tell you to say. God can use anybody at any age. There was another young person in the Bible who was feeling a little insecure about his age. It was a young pastor named Timothy. I bet he was 25. Look at the message that God sent to Timothy through Paul. "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Let no one despise your youth. That word despise means to neglect or to waste. So what God is saying to Timothy, He's not just telling Timothy, don't be embarrassed because you're young. God is telling Timothy, don't you waste this season in your life. Despise not your youth. Don't waste your youth. God is saying, don't wait until you're older because I need you right now. Tell somebody he needs you right now. The scriptures tell us of people of all ages who did incredible things for God. Joash became king of Judah at the old age of 7 years old. King Josiah was only 8 years old when he began his reign. David, when David defeated Goliath, he was just a scrawny teenager. Listen, Jesus fed 5,000 people, one of his greatest miracles. Why? Because a little boy was willing to give up his lunchbox for Jesus. Youth and inexperience are not an issue with God. Don't think for a minute that you have to be older to do something for the Lord, because God can use your life right now. Leonard Ravenhill, a powerful minister in England in the early 1900s, he once said that the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. So no matter what season you're in, don't waste this season. Tell somebody, don't waste it. Okay, so I've talked a lot about young people. Now let me talk about the other category of people. In other words, everybody else. Come on, they're not so young. Listen, you are never too old to be used by God. You are never too old to be used by God. Never too old. Many people don't realize this, but when Moses went to Egypt to deliver the Israelites, he was 80 years old. Come on, somebody. 80 years old. And all that he did in Egypt and all that he did leading God's people through the wilderness. Listen, Moses was 80 when he started. What's your excuse? I said it. Joshua and Caleb were in their 80s when they conquered the promised land. Daniel was in his 70s when he was thrown into the lion's den. Sarah was in her 90s when she gave birth to Isaac. There is a reason that you don't see school buses drop kids off at the nursing home. Okay? But even still, Sarah gave birth to Isaac in her 90s. Sarah was breastfeeding, standing up. She had it made. Let me tell you something. Some of y'all will get that 3 weeks from now. But listen, you are never too old, because even what seems impossible in the natural is not impossible with God. It is not humanly, physiologically possible for somebody 90 years old to carry and deliver a child. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. If you belong to the Lord, you don't have an excuse as to why God can't do anything through your life. Come on, tell somebody, no more excuses. God makes no distinction based on age. He can use anybody at any point in life. There is no expiration date for your service to God. If you're still breathing, there is still work for you to do. Come on, somebody just breathe on your hand real quick. Okay, if you felt air coming out, that means that you still have work to do for the kingdom of God. And if you don't feel air coming out, call an usher immediately, okay? Listen, others might write you off because of your age, but God never does. This end time move of God is not going to be young people only. God has promised a multi-generational move of God that is going to take the message of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. God wants to use people of every season. The problem with a lot of Christians, especially those who have been serving the Lord a long time, is they look at the things they've done in the past. They somehow think, well, I've paid my dues. Listen, there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. God is not concerned with what you did for him yesterday. He wants to know, what are you doing for me right now? To quote Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? It's wonderful that you did things 20 years ago and 30 years ago and 10 years ago and 6 months ago, but God wants to know, what are you doing for me right now today in this season? Because God doesn't operate in yesterday, he operates in the now. Amen? I better keep on going. All right. Four rules for every season. Number one, serve God now. Number two, discover today's mission. Number three, learn from those who have gone before you. Some of you may be thinking, well, what if they're all dead? Well, read a book that they wrote. Listen, after all, what is the Bible? It's a book written by dead people. We know the Word of God is living and active, but we have the Word of God because generations who have gone before us recorded it, preserved it, and handed it down to us. Your rule for this season in your life is learn from those who've gone before you. No matter how old you may be, no matter how much you may know, there is always more that you can learn. I have found that it is much easier to learn from other people's mistakes than to make your own mistakes and learn the hard way. Did anybody learn that lesson? If you didn't, you will soon. I promise you that. Listen, I don't claim to be a perfect pastor, and none of y'all think that I am a perfect pastor, but I'll tell you this. I've avoided a lot of mistakes in ministry because I've gotten to know other pastors who have been in ministry 20, 30, and 40 years longer than me. This past week, I spent time with another pastor who's been in ministry longer than I've been alive, and let me tell you something. I gained a lot of wisdom and a lot of discernment from him. Listen, we have to learn. There is a rule for people of every age. Learn from those who have gone before you. And here's the last one. I'm almost done. Number four, make room for those who are coming after you. Listen, our God is a multi-generational God. Repeatedly in the Bible calls him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a multi-generational God, and he is calling us to be a multi-generational church. Lamentations 5:19, you, O Lord, rule forever. Your throne is from generation to generation. Right now, our kids' church is going on in our upper level, right on the other side of that wall. That, listen, there is a reason why we have teenagers helping lead our kids' church. Because we're teaching them this principle. Always invest in the next generation. Listen, God has opened up my eyes so much since I've become a father. I think the toughest reality for me was realizing that when Hudson came, my life wasn't about me anymore. When he came along, it was no longer about me. Now that we're caring for him, I've had to realize that the whole purpose of my entire life is to feed him and burp him and change him and put him to sleep and to protect him and to care for him and to teach him. The rest of my life, I'll never be the same because I'm bound by responsibility to preserve the next generation. Everything I do, all of my free time is not free time, it's HUD time now. Okay, because listen, if I stopped investing in him and stopped feeding him and stopped teaching him and protecting him, he wouldn't make it on his own. He wouldn't survive. My whole purpose in life is not only that he survives, but that he thrives. If only we would get that attitude as a church. If only we would come to the realization that what we do when we come together, it's not about us anymore. It's about building up the next generation. It's about raising up the next pastor and raising up the next worship leader and raising up the next evangelist and raising up the next nursery leaders and the ushers and the greeters. And listen, it our purpose, our reason for existing as a church is to raise up the next generation. In your personal life, who are you investing in? Listen, when I look across this room, I see a gold mine of knowledge and wisdom. I see a gold mine, a vast wealth of the knowledge of the Word of God, of godly wisdom on how to live for Jesus Christ, of how to persevere through the hard times. Listen, what are you doing with what you've got? The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Who are you investing in? If you're not raising up the next generation, you need to. Because the truth is, if we're not reaching the next generation, we're not doing anything. If we're not reaching the next generation, what are we doing? It seems like every time I pray lately, God says generations, generations, generations. Every time I pray, every time I seek God's direction for our church and for my life, I keep hearing that word generation over and over and over again. Because our future is not about us. It's about them. We no longer exist for ourselves. We exist for the next generation. The Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 4, one generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. That's God's plan for us. Do you believe that? Amen. If you're here this morning, I want you to know this. Your life matters to God. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, male or female, it doesn't matter. Your life matters to God. You are valuable and you are important to Him. Jesus said, I love you enough to die for you. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody comes to God except through me. Listen, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is our only hope. He is our only access to God. You can't get to God any other way. But let me tell you the good news this morning. Jesus accepts anybody who comes to Him. No qualifiers, no stipulations, no fine print. Jesus said, you come to me. I don't care how much sin you've got in your life. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care what you've done, what you're doing, who you are, or where you came from. Jesus said, you just come to me. Come to me and I'll receive you. Jesus is standing with arms wide open, ready to love you and forgive you and heal you and restore you. All you have to do is come to Him. Don't let another day go by, because God doesn't operate in yesterday or tomorrow. God operates in the now. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let another day go by without making the decision to follow Jesus. I'll tell everybody, the gospel is as simple as ABC. A, admit that you need to be saved. That's the easy point, because we all know that we have all messed up at some point in life. In fact, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The first step to receiving eternal life is to admit that you need eternal life. So A, admit that you need to be saved. B, believe that Jesus can save you. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins and for mine. Jesus paid the price to save us. All you have to do is put your faith in Him. Listen, you can't save yourself. You can't live good enough to earn salvation. That's why the Bible says that salvation is a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. Receive Jesus as your Savior this morning. A, B, C, admit you need to be saved. B, believe Jesus to save you. And C, commit your life to follow Him. Listen, a lot of people say a prayer, and go right back to the world. Salvation is not about saying a prayer. It's about giving your life to Jesus Christ. It's about daily following after Him. People say, well, I have to give up too much to be a Christian. Time out. Let's talk about what you have to give up. Let's see. Let me think for a minute. If I'm going to become a Christian today, I'm going to have to give up some stuff. What am I going to have to give up? Well, for one thing, you're going to have to give up eternity in hell. When you give your life to Jesus, you can't go to hell anymore because you belong to Him. Now, what else do you have to give up? Let's see. I have to give up living with the guilt of my past. How awful is that? I don't have to worry or be afraid about the mistakes that I've made and the stuff that I used to do. I don't have to live under the guilt of yesterday. Boy, it's tough giving your life to Jesus, isn't it? What else do I have to give up? Let's see. I have to give up my old identity and find out who God says I am. So that means that all those people who told me that I'm no good, that I'm not worth anything, that I'm never going to make it, people who told me I was an accident, people who told me I was a mistake, people who said I was a loser, that I was just messed up and hopeless. I have to forget all of that. And I have to discover who God says I am. God says that I'm a child of the Most High God. Well, God says that I am valuable, that I am precious, that I'm not a mistake, that He knew me before I was born, that He planned out my whole life, that God gave me a destiny, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You got to give that up to follow Jesus. Boy, that sounds tough, doesn't it? Of course you have to give up a lifestyle of sin. But listen, yes, sin is fun, but it's only fun for a little while. There is a very short timer on the fun. And the Bible even says that sin is fun for a season, but in the end it leads to destruction. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. I don't care how mixed up in sin you are, Jesus is able to set you free. The Bible says that the arm of the Lord is not short that He cannot save. Listen, I don't care if God has got to reach all the way down to the bottom of the barrel. He is able to pull you up out of sin and save you and set you free and deliver you. I don't care if you walked in this place high this morning. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you're mixed up in. There is no sin that is greater and stronger and more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Jesus takes away the sins of the whole world. You're here this morning and you need Jesus. Don't waste another day of your life. Give your life to Him right now in this service today. Make the decision. I'm going to live for Jesus. Listen to me, there's only one Jesus. And this may be your one opportunity this morning. Make that decision now. I feel that God is working strong on somebody's heart right now. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray for those who are wrestling with that decision this morning. God, may today be their day of salvation. May this be their moment. God, where You wash their sins away. Lord, where You give them a brand new identity, a brand new beginning, when You restore their soul and redeem them from destruction. God, I thank You that this is the day where You pick up the broken pieces, make something wonderful of their life. God, I thank You. While everybody's praying, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to make that decision this morning. Just throw your hand up. I want to pray for you today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Say, Pastor, pray. God bless you. Lord, I pray for those who have lifted their hands. I pray for those who are listening online and by CD. God, I pray for those who need to make that decision. God, I thank You that this is their day of salvation. Right now, right where they are, this is their moment to begin again. Father, I thank you that You love them enough to die for them, to save them and to redeem them. If you're ready to make that decision, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer that's going to help you begin your journey with God. I want to lead you in a prayer. I want you to repeat after me. And in fact, let's all pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and set me free. Jesus, you're the only Savior. I can't save myself. I can't fix my life. So I give it to you. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I'll live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name.